Today, my guest is Stella Markova Kunin. She and her husband moved to Maine almost 2 years ago from Strelca, Bulgaria. Bulgaria is a country of 7 million people, the size of Maine and New Hampshire combined. It's nestled in between the Black Sea, Romania, Serbia, Macedonia, Greece, and Turkey, in an area of the world that is arguably the first civilized region in Europe. And what a beautiful region it is. Mountainous in the center and the Black Sea port to the east. So nice to have you back, Stella. You were here about a month ago with the Workforce Development Special, so I'm so glad you could come back for a more personalized interview.
I'm glad that you invited me for this opportunity.
It's terrific. And it's a beautiful, almost spring day outside.
Almost.
So coming from a very established culture, I wondered what you can tell us about what Bulgarians think it means to be a Bulgarian.
So it's a complexity of things. Maybe I can tell you what it means to me to be a Bulgarian.
That would be great.
So it's to be proud of a 13-century-long country and history. It's probably to be very expressive and emotional, because people from Bulgaria, not only, maybe people from the Balkan region as a whole, tend to be very emotional in terms of when you, let's say, sit on a table and talk about something, that they can get into an argument. Sometimes
people have opinions.
But it's also about who you are. It's a complexity of things.
I think we know that about Italy. Mm-hmm. Where there's strong feelings, yeah. And families get together and express their opinions. And so you're saying Bulgarians are somewhat similar in that way.
Yeah, in a way, that is what I can tell about Bulgarians. But we also pay a lot of attention on building strong and long-term relationships with the people around. To me, a Bulgarian means a person who can reflect on himself or herself through the interaction with others. And maybe the one thing that can make a Bulgarian suffer the most is being alone. I mean, not having interaction with other people and steady relationships. For example, if I don't talk to a friend or a family member just one day, it could make me miserable. And I think that it's something which is very common. We enjoy the art of living our life and living it within our community or within our friend circle.
But it sounds like a country of highly emotionally intelligent people.
Yeah.
Who put their personal connections before their jobs, before their,
I could definitely say so.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I'd be really interested to spend time in Bulgaria just for that reason, to see what that feels like.
Yeah, and people are very welcoming. You can go into some remote village where they might be, let's say, 500 or 600 old people mostly, and everyone would be willing to invite you to their home and feed you or just greet you. I mean, we're open to meeting other people.
Love that.
Yeah,
and yet you've remained a country intact for 13 centuries.
Yeah.
Always Bulgaria.
Yeah, always called Bulgaria. Yeah, and we suffered different periods of being a country which borders three seas. At some point, the territory was becoming smaller or greater depending on the people that governed it and the kings that we had and what our neighbors were, because they were changing all the time.
Sure, different the borders changed.
Different nations had interests to get access to the territory because it's on the border of Europe and Asia, in a way.
But it's crazy beautiful.
Yeah. but still, throughout the 13th century, there has always been Bulgaria as a name of the country, except for 5 centuries of Ottoman rule, which we suffered through the 14th to through the 19th century. But still, throughout those 5 centuries, we managed to secure our language, to secure the religion and our rituals, our customs, and in a way, our temperament.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And so your area is known for rich folk tales, for specialty foods, and you were saying earlier for growing roses that make the rose oil that fuels the perfume industry.
Yeah. That's what Strelce and the so-called Rose Valley is popular for. So I come from Strelce. My husband comes from a completely different region. My family grew oil roses, which are the foundation for producing the rose oil. And it's something that people on one side make for a living, but on the other they do it because the generations before have done it. And in a way, it's more of a tradition than money making, because nowadays there is also roses grown in China and in different countries, so they keep the cost of the rose oil in a way lower, or not so much of the rose oil, but rose themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. But in a way, it is also turning into a biotourism, because people are interested to see how the whole process is taking place. And there are people that are coming from the cities or from other countries just to watch how people are picking roses at 6 a.m. in the morning or at 5:30 a.m., because that's the best time to do that.
Oh, very cool. It's maybe a little like our microbrew industry here in Maine. People travel around to see all the different ones in here.
I've heard that there are people around Maine that are growing vines, and there will be others that just go there and shovel or cut them or just watch how it goes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty cool to see how something's made. And you come from the Valley of the Roses.
Yeah.
Were there roses in front of everyone's houses? Fields of roses?
No, it's more or less in places that are remoted from the house, like big fields. You can have roses, oil roses at home, but they stay just for one day. The rose is good and has a good quality just for one day, and then it dies. That's why it's necessary that you go and pick them every morning in the run of a month, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds beautiful. Yeah. I was wondering about your folk tales, too. Are you the home of the original Bigfoot or the furry walking creature in the woods? Do you have a character like that?
So we do have tales about the so-called Curly Marco, who is a really fat guy who is able to protect all the people from the evils. And he was able to pick up a big stone and throw it in a distance, which is unimaginable.
Yeah.
It's many different tales about monsters, and we, in a way, Bulgaria is an Orthodox country, but we still keep a lot of pagan traditions, so a lot of our tales or fairy tales are based on some beliefs which come and originate from that pagan period. For just to give an example, a very popular festival in Bulgaria includes dancing with huge masks. Some of them are made from wood, some of them are made from animal's fur or leather. And the idea is that you are trying to haunt away the bad evil. So the people are doing that, believing that it would bring prosperity and health. And but the masked people look really monstrous. So it's strange.
That's funny, because they're Christian, they're Orthodox Christians, and yet they still engage.
But we keep a lot of pagan tradition, or dancing on fire, different things.
Yeah. Dancing on top of fire?
Yeah.
Like walking on coals?
Yeah, walking on coals. And there are different regions that are practicing that a lot. But nowadays, there will be also different restaurants that are going to have it as an attraction so that people coming from different countries can get closer to things they would not be able to see in other parts of the
sure. So go
world.
To Bulgaria and watch people dance on the coals and pick the flowers out of the garden in the morning. You mentioned to me that one thing Bulgaria is very proud of is the stand they took during World War II. I wondered if you could tell us more about that.
So this became known in the turn to democracy in the so all the evidences were released at that time, the 1990s, and it turns out that 50,000 Jews were saved by the Bulgarian on one side government, on the other side by the Orthodox Church, because we were allies with the Germans during the Second World War, and we were supposed to send, even the trains came to Bulgaria, that were supposed to take the Jews from Bulgaria to concentration camps in Poland. But Dimitar Peshev, who was then a deputy speaker of the Bulgarian parliament, he took a stand and intervened with the King Boris at that time. Also the Orthodox Church, who on one side managed to survive through 5 years of being under Ottoman rule and keeping up Jews and Armenians and different nations' religions within one country, it also intervened in such a way that Bulgarians rejected to send the Jewish population to concentration camps, and which was really great achievement of Bulgarian diplomacy at that time.
I hadn't known that, and that's something to really admire about Bulgaria.
Yeah. It's a precedent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does Bulgaria get a lot of tourism now? Do people come to see this beautiful country? And if I were to go as a visitor, what might you recommend for me or any Mainer that was traveling to Bulgaria?
Bulgaria usually attracts people to the Black Sea. That's what I can say, but it changes with time because our mountainous resorts always develop a lot. New trails are being added. So on one side, tourists could come for the summer to see our summer resorts. Of course, most of the tourists come from Europe, but there are also Americans who are interested not only to Bulgaria, but to the Balkan region and beaches. Croatia, Montenegro, Bulgaria are known for maybe not Croatia and Montenegro, but Bulgaria has really sandy beaches. So you don't need like water shoes or whatever.
And warm water?
The water is really warm because the Black Sea is like inner sea, like a lake. And the water in the summer gets like 75, maybe 80 degrees, and you feel like there is no difference between the temperature of the water and the temperature of the air. And the other thing is you can go to so many different beaches just in a limited distance. And you can also go to a beach which is really close to the mountain, so during the day you can get hot on the beach, and then in the evening you can like cool down in the mountain. So if I would have to recommend to a person some place in Bulgaria, this is definitely the Bulgarian seaside. I love it. I would recommend the mountain resorts too, but I'm not so much fond of winter sports. And the other probably best places to go are our capital city, which is very metropolitan. And it also has a lot of historical sites.
This is Sofia.
Sofia. And it developed a lot in terms of infrastructure. There are so many economy class flight companies that go to Sofia. So it's affordable. And in Bulgaria, you can travel for like a week and see so many different things. The second biggest city, Plovdiv, it is becoming, it is now a European capital of culture, and there will be events all through the year, different concerts, different activities. It has an old town, it has amphitheater. And there are various ethno towns and ethno cities, which means they have a policy on town level that they should keep the architecture the way it was, let's say, during the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And everyone who is building a new house, or it should look exactly the same.
Like a World Heritage Site or a National Historic Register. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is the lovely Stella Markovo-Kanin. She came to the United States 2 years ago, and wow, you've done a lot since you've been here. You have had the experience that so many immigrants have in changing what you do for work upon your arrival. I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what you did in Bulgaria and what you do here so listeners can see what an adaptable person you are.
Yeah. So I have a degree in English, that is my bachelor's, and then I had a degree in finance as a master's. But during my master's, I started back in Bulgaria working as a project coordinator. It was first a temporary project for a year, but then it was extended, and it was really the job that I liked a lot and didn't want to change. Through all my work experience in Bulgaria, I mean, I really didn't want to change it because it gave me so much in terms of meeting other people. So I worked for an international business association. Our major member was a German craft association, but we also had 25 different business associations that were members of this association. And we did joint projects, not only for the member associations, but also with other members from the European states. I traveled a lot, not only in Western Europe, but I got to know a lot the Balkan region and travel to almost every state at least once or twice a year.
That sounds fun for a young person to have so much exposure.
Yeah, I had exposure to different people, different countries, different languages. My job back in Bulgaria helped me improve my German because I didn't speak at the very beginning, but then I improved a lot because it was one of the working languages. So it enriched me in terms of building relationships with people from various nationalities and various religions as well. And it gave me a huge perspective because when you are dealing with projects, every European project has a different topic. It's not about only business, but we had energy efficiency projects. We had future skills needs, job of my life, all kind of different things. And you should be well prepared to work on a topic in order to complete it successfully. So you read a lot about different things. That's what
really
I did for
fresh.
Work yeah, back in Bulgaria. When I moved to the States, I realized that this is going to be hard to find a similar nonprofit dealing with similar topics. Maybe Maine is very well known for its integration of new Mainers, or immigrants, and there are a lot of nonprofits that are dealing with welcoming people from other country. But I also had background in finance, accounting, in a way. So I found a job working as an accounting assistant at the YMCA of Southern Maine. And I decided that this is probably the best time that I can get a certification as well in accounting. That will give me an opportunity to have a steady profession that would not limit you. The older you get, the less possibilities you have, but accounting can be practiced all around the world, and you're not limited in terms of age or,
It's a strategic choice.
Yeah.
So it's a safety net. And maybe you'll get back to your project managing, but in the meantime, you're going to have a nice safety job.
And I really enjoy going back to school because I had a certain gap in that. And I find it exciting in a way. Education here is different. It's practical and I love it. So, yeah, I think it's a change for the better at some point because people always need a change. And then maybe I would be able to make the comparison what suits best.
Right. You'll have tried one of every job, so you'll know which one fits you best.
Yeah.
What makes young people want to leave Bulgaria? You've left and you're starting all over in this country, but you're not the only one. There's a trend of young people leaving Bulgaria and other countries as well, of course. I wonder what that's been like for you and why people are leaving Bulgaria.
We talked about it earlier, and I think that the major reason that people are leaving certain countries or relocating within the state, it is about the freedom of choice, and it is a matter of realizing at certain point that you have a limited life, and if you're about to spend all your life living in one country, in one environment, that is not gonna give you enough in terms of what your view on life is, and relocating or spending a certain period of time or moving to another country is giving you an opportunity to change perspective, to see if you can gain certain things better, or if you at some point realize that this is not your right choice and you need to return to your home country or to your roots. But it's more about having the freedom to choose where you want to be and realizing that life is limited and people better experience more and make an informed decision on what their life should look like.
Yeah, I think I understand it in terms of size in a way.
Yeah.
With Bulgaria being the size of Maine and New Hampshire pressed together,
yeah.
I can imagine making the rest of my life here, but I can also imagine a scenario where I might need to be in a different region. But for in a small country, that means yeah. you're in a different country.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just keep your options open.
Yeah, keep your options open. And nowadays, you can always go back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Do you get to keep your citizenship in Bulgaria if you become a citizen here
yeah.
too?
Bulgaria has the so-called, I think there is a Latin term, but pardon me, I don't, I cannot memorize it at this point. So that you are a citizen by parent. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have a parent who is a citizen of that country and by birth as well, but you cannot be deprived of your citizenship. Even if I decide to stay and get an American citizenship,
oh.
that is not going to deprive me of my Bulgarian citizenship.
You have
which
more choices.
Is actually a European one. I mean, you're open to go to any other European country because it's a EU member state.
Yes, that makes sense. If you could quickly tell us, if you could mix the best of Bulgaria with the best of what you've learned about Maine, what would that look like for you?
Yeah.
What's your American dream?
Yeah, so as I told you, Bulgarians are impressive, emotional, but maybe they have a little bit of pessimism, which is something that a lot of people are going to notice. And probably the optimism, the enthusiasm of America is something that I would like to transfer or, let's say, have it have a little bit of everything, maybe the positivism of America, and on the other side, the real interaction with people between Bulgarians, if I can take it here. I'm not saying it's not real, but it's more like building long-term, steady relationships.
Yes, that's beautiful. So the integrity and the depth of Bulgaria
yeah.
with the kind of lightness and optimism of America mixed together.
Yeah.
Stella, you're a highly adaptable and good-natured person already. I am so impressed by how you stay true to the things that you value, especially cultivating meaningful relationships. Not only have you switched career paths, but you have also volunteered in support of others, learning new career skills here in the Workforce Development Program at Southern Maine Community College. You are already making Maine a better place to live, and thank you so much for picking this as your home.
Thank you very much, Kate. It was a pleasure.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Stella has chosen for us. Could you tell us quickly what you've chosen?
Yeah, this is the song. If I need to translate it literally, it's called The Mountain Overhauled or Turned Around. It is one of the major mountains in Bulgaria, which has a lot of gorges and slopes, and it's really attractive. That's why it seems that when you're traveling through that region, it seems that the mountain is on top of you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.